Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many know Jesus loves you? There's no place better than to be in the knowledge and the knowing that He loves you and that He wants to be with you and He desires for you to be here and in His presence. Glory to God. Well, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get right into the Word tonight. Father, we're grateful for Your presence. We're grateful for You being here. Lord, we just want to give You the honor and the glory for everything that You've done for us. You've taken care of us, Lord. We're all blessed, and we thank You, Lord. We have nothing to gripe about, Father, because You love us. And Lord, we just want to be a grateful people and not grumbling people. We just want to be in Your presence. We thank You, honor You, and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonder how you're all doing tonight. I know we've been through this quarantine thing for far too long, and we're just going to come out on the other side better than we came into it. I just believe that in Jesus' name. But tonight, I want to talk to you about faith, but I want to talk to you about Abraham's faith. He's called the father of the faith, and there's reasons for that, but we'll get into that. But let's read some scripture out of the book of Romans. If you'll go to the book of Romans and go to the fourth chapter, Romans chapter 4, and we're going to start with the 11th verse, and we're going to read a little bit out of this. Glory to God. Romans chapter 4 and the 11th verse. Hallelujah. See, faith, what is faith, and what are we talking about when we talk about faith? Really, what we're talking about is the assurance that God meant what He said, and knowing that His Word is true, and walking in the light of His Word, fully confident that His Word speaks to issues of life, and that everything that we have need of, He's already written down in His Word. So we want to talk about Abraham being the father of our faith. But let's read a little scripture here. It says in verse 11, it says, "And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father to all of those who believe, that they are the uncircumcision, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also." And what he's saying is that Abraham, even before he was circumcised, was the father of faith. He believed God, and we're going to look at some of that. But sometimes we look at Abraham, we look at characters in the Bible, and we just think that they don't even hardly, you know, they walked on water and they didn't have any problems and they weren't like you and me. But I believe that Abraham had all of the things right with him, some things wrong with him, just like you or I do. So if we can look at that and go, wait a minute, maybe I'm looking at this whole thing from a different perspective, and I just need to just get real with myself and real with God. What I'm saying is that we can begin to act in a way that we trust that God is for us and that God wants us and that God's given us a pattern to live by. Glory to God. Now look again, because this is really cool. Verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And if you look at this, it wasn't to his seeds, it was to his seed. And everything points back to Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And even when Abraham came, and we'll look at it in a minute, but in Genesis chapter 12, it says, "Abraham, through you all nations will be blessed." And I don't think he was talking about the geographic locations that we call nations, but he was talking about the people who live in the nations. God wanted to bless all nations through Abraham, and he has. But sometimes in getting religious on things, like under the old covenant, and people that were living, even when Jesus was here, they thought that their relationship with God was solidified in the fact that they did certain things at certain times in order to make them acceptable to God. But what Paul's really trying to point out here is that it's not the circumcision of the flesh, but it's the circumcision of the heart. And the circumcision of the heart can only be done through trusting and doing what God asks you to do. It's by faith that we're circumcised in the heart. And it really doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're Greek or whether you're male, whether you're female, you know, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a worker, all of us can come to faith in Jesus Christ, and that's what makes us righteousness. In fact, the faith is that everything that Jesus did, he did for me and is transferred to me because of the covenant that God struck with Jesus about the redemption of mankind that you and I get to walk in. That's so awesome. Verse 14, it says, "For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promises made of no effect." What's that saying? If you could do this on your own, if you could live a life that was right and met God's standards, then there'd be no need for Jesus to come. There'd be no need for you to have faith in what Jesus produced for you in your life. And so it's by faith, come on, faith is a big deal. Verse 14, it says, because of the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What's he saying? He's saying simply this: all of those that are in Christ Jesus, as well as the nation of Israel, those his descendants, all have Abraham as their father. Now, that's so important because the father is the initiator of all things. So what I'm saying by that is that what the father had, he passed down to his children. So Abraham passed some things down to us. And we need to come to the place where we're understanding that I can walk in the same kind of faith that Abraham did. Now, I just want to take a little bit of a side journey and just talk about faith for just a minute. The faith that I'm talking about is not a formula. It's really not even an effort that you make. Faith is based on a relationship. Faith is based on hearing what God has said, making it personal, and walking in it. So, in other words, there's been many things done in faith, and I'm faithing this and I'm faithing that, but faith outside of a relationship with God through his son Jesus Christ is not faith in the word of God and faith in the true sense of the word. That's what Abraham had. He had faith because he heard from God. We'll talk about that in a minute. And because he heard, he obeyed. And then he walked in that kind of faith and developed more of a relationship with the God that blessed him. And again, I think that faith can grow, and I think faith is something that you can build on. But it's not built by your effort. It's built on your hearing what God has to say. Now again, there is effort involved. We need to make ourselves available to the Word. We need to be in prayer like God is really listening. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. But at the same time, we have to trust that God is who he said he is. He did what he said he did. And that we can walk in the light of that. It's so important. Paul said this, I think it was in 1 Corinthians, it may have been somewhere else, but he said, the gospel, I preached the gospel first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Even the Gentile church, you know, there are some people that would say, well, the Jews are done, they're past, God's not interested, the church has become the the new Jews, but that's not true. God has a covenant with a people that were the offspring of Abraham. But the reality is the gospel is the doorway for all of us to walk in a relationship that we can build faith on. In other words, the Jew and the Gentile need to come through God through Jesus. Again, what did Jesus say? I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. See, that's really, you need to believe that. And in believing on that, you'll act on that. So again, we're talking about the Father of our faith. Listen to verse 17. It says, "For as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." It's so important that we understand that when God told Abraham this particular promise that he was going to be the father of many nations, it didn't look like that in the natural. There was no way that that could happen by Abraham's effort. And it says here that he believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But what I want to talk to you about tonight is that it's a faith that grows, but it grows through relationship with God, getting to know God, walking with God, making mistakes, getting back up, beginning to plod through even after you've done things maybe wrong, but getting back up and just getting right in there and saying, "Listen, Lord, I thank you for your promises. I'm going to walk in them. And Lord, I may have fallen down, but I'm getting up and I'm going to continue to do it." And so faith is something that again, is our relationship with God. It's our absolute trust that he is who he said he is. Abraham was called a friend of God in James chapter 2 and 23. And God called him a friend forever in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 7. And God called Abraham my friend in Isaiah 41, 8. See, that speaks of relationship. And John tonight, he sang the song that I just love, "I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God." That's so cool. It's not like I'm God's friend. I am. But the thing that's even cooler than that is that God is my friend. Did you get that? God is my friend. Just like our father Abraham, we can walk in the light of what he said and understand that God is not out there to get me. He's my friend. So let's go back to Genesis, and we're going to start in the 11th chapter, Genesis chapter 11, and this is where Abraham is first mentioned, and it talks about his lineage a little bit and where he grew up and all of that. But Genesis chapter 11, and look at verse 26. "Now Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran." It's kind of interesting to me. I'd never looked at it this way before. Now, when Abraham was born, his dad was 70 years old. Isn't that interesting? I'm not 70 yet, getting close, but I don't plan on having any more kids. And Renita said amen. Now, verse 26, or 7 says, "And this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begat Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in the Ur of the Chaldeans." It's interesting, and we're going to talk about how that God spoke to Abraham and had him get out of his homeland. He grew up, he was raised, he was around this area, and this particular area is in Iraq, and it's southern Iraq, and you can actually, there's places where they pinpointed where this is. But the atmosphere that he grew up in was an atmosphere of idolatry. They had other gods, and they worshiped other gods. And in fact, when Jacob went back to get his wife, it's mentioned that there are other gods that they were continuing to worship. So Abram didn't come out necessarily from a relationship of his father knew God and his grandfather knew God and they were in church together all the time and they praised Yahweh. He came out because God spoke to him. Let's look at the next verse. It said, then Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Sarah's Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Ishka. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. Now Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out from the Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Cana, and they came to the Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Crazy, isn't it? This man had his kids when he was 70 years old, but it says here that he lived 205 years and then died. But let's get into the father Abraham, because chapter 12 is really where the story starts to unfold about what God said to him and promised to him. In verse 1 it says, and now the Lord said to Abram. I want you to get that. Now the Lord said to Abram. In Hebrews chapter 11 it says, now faith is. You see, you're not going to have faith until you know that God has spoken. Let me say that again. You can never have faith until you know that God has spoken. And not that God has spoken in a general way, but that God has spoken in a specific way to you. In fact, people who get born again, they get born again because the Holy Spirit draws them, and because the Holy Spirit draws them, they make a confession of faith based on what they have heard, the gospel. And it's the same thing with any type of faith or faith that we have. Look at the faith that I'm talking about, the faith of Abraham, is not a faith that's delineated for different things. There's not faith for healing, faith for this, faith for that. It's faith in the one who promised. It's confidence in the one who said. And where we have to be is listening to the voice of God. When we're reading the Word of God, has God said to me? I've known many people to get off track because they decided to try to have faith, and they tried to have faith like somebody else had faith. They read a book and they do something. Well, if God did it for them, he's no respecter of person. He'll do it for me, so I'm just going to get out on my own and try this thing. Well, the reality is they haven't heard from God. They didn't do the steps that the person had taken in the book. They just went out on their own, and they failed miserably, and they said, well, this faith thing doesn't work. Faith always works. Let me say that again. Faith always works. But it's predicated on, have you heard God? See, if you haven't heard God, there's no basis for faith. We have his written word, and we know that his written word is true. But there's something about knowing what's written on a piece of paper and having it speak to your heart. Remember when Jesus in Mark chapter 4, and he gave the parable of the sowers, and he said that the sower sows the word. But then afterwards, he said this statement. He said, let those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. What does that mean? Everybody that was there had paddles on the outside of their head. They could all physically hear the words that were spoken, but there's something about having in your spirit ears to hear what God is trying to say to you. And sometimes we have to get to the place where we're shutting distractions out, we're shutting other voices out, and we're saying, God, I just need to hear from you. Here's my situation, Lord. You're the one who said you'd always meet my needs. You're the one that said you'd always take care of me. You're the one that said you'd heal my brokenhearted, but I need this to be between you and me. And then allow the Holy Spirit to use his word to begin to put inside of your heart the very thing that will cause faith to arise. See, when you know that 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 God has said something to you, then it won't matter what circumstances are around you. But we look at Abraham and we go, oh yeah, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. But the reality is he didn't believe strongly at first. And I'll prove that out to you, but let's go on. He said, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham believed that, and we know that he believed that because the next verse says that Abraham departed. God said, and so he acted on what he said. But can you imagine that he's going, just like you were, how's that going to work? I'm leaving, I've got some camels, I got some people with me, and I'm going to a land that I've never been in. How is every nation on the earth going to be blessed by me? Is that even possible? And I'm telling you tonight, it is. But God spoke to him, but God had to develop the word that he spoke to him in his heart in a particular manner. And we'll see that more clearly. Go to chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, no one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now we can look back at this and go, you know, look at all the people throughout the centuries that have been Abraham's heir, both the Jews and those who know Jesus Christ, who've been grafted in. Look at, man, it's awesome. There are too many to number. And so this prophecy came true. But for Abraham, it's like, how is this going to happen? And we're going to see in a minute that he believed it, but there was still room for some questioning going on in his heart. But God gave him a picture. God said, look at, and that's what God is going to do for you. He's going to build faith on the inside of you a little bit at a time. If you'll continue to talk to him about it, continue to walk with him, he'll give you things like this picture. Go outside and look at the stars. And you go, wow, that's incredible. But we can do the same thing. When the Bible says that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, we need to get that down on the inside of us, and we need to begin to imagine ourselves in the blessing of God. And you know the verse that says that he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's in Isaiah. Now look at the point of that whole verse is this, is that we need to keep our imagination, the picture of who God is, on the back of our mind. And that's what God was doing with Abraham right here. He was building into him the conduit for his faith to grow to the point where his faith is what caused his righteousness to be. So awesome, so awesome. And verse 6, it says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord God who brought you out of Ur the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit. And he said, the Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? See, incredible. I've never had God speak to me audibly. And some of us say, well, if God spoke to me audibly, it would be an automatic thing. My faith would be automatic. But Abraham said, He's listening to God now, you understand. God is speaking to him, and he's going, how can this be? The reality is, if God said it, we should just start rejoicing because he'll do it, right? But again, Abraham has to grow in his faith. And so he said to him in verse 9, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought them to him and cut them in two in the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down to the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants shall be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years. God is prophesying even to his descendants about when they're going to be in Egypt. But watch this. He had to get Abram out of the way in order for him to build a platform so that Abraham could have a total assurance that the promises were true. And this is incredible. It says, now for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And it came to pass when the sun went down and the dark, and behold, there were appeared smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. To your descendants I've given this land, from the river Egypt to the great river the Euphrates, to the Kenites, to the Kenizzites, to the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Rephaim. I know I'm butchering all of these. And the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now look at this. God came down. He put Abraham asleep, and he made a covenant with Abraham. This is blood covenant stuff going on here. And he's saying, you've got my word on it, and you've got my blood that's backing the word. And we have the same thing, because the blood of Jesus is the very thing that guarantees the covenant that he struck with Jesus that is applicable to us as we stand in faith. So verse 1 of 16 says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So watch this, and For time's sake, I'm just going to kind of reiterate what went on. So Sarah said, you've got the promise. We know the promise is true, but it's not working the way we think it should work out, so we're going to help God out. So often the times, we do the same thing. God, I'm just going to help you out. I'm going to manipulate this. I'm going to get it. So what did Sarah do? Listen, take my handmaiden. She can give you a son. Abraham said, oh, cool. So Ishmael was born. That wasn't God's best. That wasn't what God promised. But Abraham said, maybe this is the way. So here's what I'm trying to point out, is that Abraham didn't start out where he ended up. And you're not going to start out where you're going to end up. But what's going to be the determining factor on where you end up is how you keep going. Are you continuing to go back to God? Are you continuing to feed on his word? Are you continuing to talk to him? Is he your friend? Do you know him? I'll tell you, be honest with you, sometimes I just say, Lord, I don't know if I know you at all, even though I've been walking with you since 1977 and talked to you many years before that. But the reality is, I need to get up every day with the sense of I am in relationship with God. He's my friend. I'm his friend. And we need to build our faith out of that relationship. So chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. You got to come to the determination that God is God and that God's almighty. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. If he's promised something, is more than enough to get it done. But we can't be distracted by the amount of years. Again, when Abram started out, he was like 75 years old. Now he's 99 years old. Come on, that's almost 25 years, 24 years. Watch. And yet he hadn't seen the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to him. You might be believing for something, and maybe it hasn't come to pass yet. But don't be dissuaded. Be encouraged that God promised he'll bring it to pass. Glory to God. Sometimes his timing is just not the same as you and I would like it. I want to believe something today and have it appear tomorrow, but it never, well, hardly ever works out that way. Come on. We need to build inside of us this relationship with God that he is my healer. Come on. He is my redeemer. And verse 3 said, then Abram fell on his face. That means he humbled himself before, and God talked with him, saying, do you know that we've got to humble ourselves? If we want to grow in faith, we need to humble ourselves before God and say, God, I have a perception of how things are, but yours is the only true perception. So I want to humble myself, my opinion, my views before you, and I want to walk with you. Now look at, no longer, verse 5, shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. The word Abraham means father of many nations. Father of many nations. Now Abram knew that Ishmael was not the son of promise. He wasn't the one that God was going to fulfill this through. But God said, listen, every time you introduce yourself from now on, you're going to say, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. And for us to build our faith in what God has said, we have to tell ourselves over and over and over and make it part of our identity who God is, what he said, and what he's going to do. Glory to God. Now, I'm not sure I'm going to get through all of this tonight, and we may start again next week. But what I want you to see is that your relationship with God is where your faith is developed. Romans in chapter 10, it says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe with all of my heart that it's not how many times you quote something, although there's nothing wrong with that. It's when that quote becomes personal between you and God that it makes a difference. Again, I think meditating on things, memorizing things, saying things over and over and over again is awesome exercise. We should have our faith confessions. But it's not our faith confessions that if I say this 1,000 times, then I'm going to get the promise. That's not the deal. The deal is when I make this real on the inside of me and I can see God in this with me, that faith will be developed in your heart, and then you'll have that knowing on the inside, and it'll surely come to pass. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, listen, I'm going to close this tonight right here because I see the time is slipping away. But I want you to know, and we're going to talk about this more next week, the father of our faith is Abraham. He had to develop in his faith. He didn't get it right away. Neither should you feel like you're missing it because you're not at the place of total faith at this moment. That if there's doubt in your heart, if you've tried to work things out a different way, don't get under condemnation. But what I'm telling you, pick yourself back up and say, okay, God, I humble myself before you, and I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to know that I know that I know that I hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. So, Lord, I'm going to ask you to continue to help me developing in my faith. God bless you tonight. Let me pray for you as we close. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for the outpouring of your spirit in your word. I thank you, Lord, that there are people that are at the sound of my voice, Lord. I'm praying for them to be healed, to be blessed, to be well. And every bit of fear, I just rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No fear over the people and of God, of the children of God, because God is with us and God is for us, and we just believe with all of our hearts that he has a plan for our lives. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we'll be with you again on Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a great rest of your week. And remember, God loves you and he's for you. And God is good all the time. Amen.